Thank you for your kind and encouraging words. I don't know when I've shook in my boots as much as I have in preparation for this gathering. But you know, when you get into a group of intellectuals, you feel intimidated. But there's somebody a lot more intimidating than any of you are who's here today. Where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them, Jesus says. And as I thought about this title, this subject that was given me, especially this first one here, I kept coming back to the word worship. And I want our focus to be on Jesus, on his words, and that's our title, the Word of Christ. As I thought about the different titles that were given, I thought of the emphasis of worship first. And the fact that his word endureth forever. We write words, and we've all written a lot of them, and a lot of them have ended up in the trash can. Or we hit delete, or we scratched them out, or however you do it. But his words endure forever. And our text comes, all three of these titles, from Colossians. And I heard my Bible, my wife ask, should I take my Bible along today? And I wondered how many of you wondered that same question. And so I decided that probably a lot of you came with notebooks and other things to write on, but probably not your Bible. So I'll just make some reference about the context. Paul was sitting in jail in Rome. And we don't know if he penned these words or if he gave them to someone else who wrote them down. But he wrote three letters. He wrote probably, we don't know which one was first, but perhaps the one to Colossae, where our text is found. Then he wrote one to the church at Ephesus. And that one's expanded a lot of the same theme. In Colossae, he talks about the Christ of the church. And in Ephesians, he talks about the church of Christ. And he wrote another letter, which we don't have, because he refers to the letter that he wrote to the church at Laodicea. And he wanted them to trade these letters and read them in each other's churches. And a lot of the parallels that are in the book of Ephesians and the book of Colossians, I wonder if they would have been in that. It's just, well, we can ask him someday and see what he has to say. And maybe he can show us what he had. And this is our text. This is Colossians chapter 3. And he's expounded on the wonderful Christ of the church. And what he says, if we didn't have other texts to believe it about Jesus, you'd almost think that's impossible, because he has Jesus right there with God creating the world, creating all the principalities and powers, and he's holding the whole universe together. Gravity and molecular attraction are the power of Jesus. He puts all of that in there, and he says that he's the head over the church, and because of that, we're his body. And then he says that in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And when he gets done worshiping Jesus, you just, in chapter 1 and 2, you're just like, wow, the Jesus that we serve, he is awesome. And truly, he is. But you get that same thing in John chapter 1. You get that same thing in Hebrews chapter 1. Maybe not as powerful it is in Colossians, but... And then he says this, as he calls them to daily living, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. I'll admit I like character studies maybe a little easier, to find them a little more simple. when I looked at this title, The Word of Christ, I said, where do you go with that? And then I started thinking about the things that Jesus said all the way back from, and I'd just like to make a list of the areas that we'll use, look at. We'll go all the way back to the eternity past. What did Jesus say in eternity past? What did he say in creation? What did he say in the theophanies? I hope that's a word. My computer kept fussing about it. I didn't even bother to look it up. But that means theos is God in the flesh before Jesus came. That's in the Old Testament. And then when he came incarnate. And this is when we hear him the most, because those are the words recorded in the Gospels. But now he's gone, and he is the glorified Christ. What is he saying now? And when he comes for the saints, hope I'm not in trouble with prophecy here. We'll see this perhaps differently, whether it's all at once or some time in between. But returning with vengeance. These are described in different verses. Or what about whenever he is king over the earth? Reigning from Jerusalem. Or what about in eternity future? The Bible gives us words from Christ in almost all of those settings. Now, we may disagree about, especially the ones in the future. I think we'll agree on the ones in the past and up until the present. But it's still good for us to meditate. And I would like, when you add them all up together, what is the common theme? What is the word of Christ? What did Jesus say in eternity past? One of the things that sent me on that search a number of years ago was in the book of Titus. Paul says, in hope of eternal life, which God promised before the world began. And who was there before the world began? But Jesus, who was there? Maybe the angels were already created. We don't know that, but who did he make a promise to? And so I started looking. Where is a conversation before the world began? I wish this was a small class because I could pick your brains, because I'm sure you've thought about these kind of things. And where is there a conversation? I think it is in the second psalm, because these are the words. I will declare the decree. The Lord has said unto me, thou art my son. Now, who could say that? Who could say, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee? Only Jesus, right? Psalm 2. I will declare the appointment. Decree means enactment or appointment. I will declare the appointment. The Lord has said unto me, thou art my son. This day have I... Who is the only begotten Son of God? It's Jesus, right? Now, what did he say? He went on, Jesus is saying these words, ask of me and I will give thee the heathen for thine inheritance. God is talking to his son Jesus. He says, you ask of me, I will give you the heathen and the uttermost parts of the earth for your possession. And then he goes on to say, thou shalt break them with a rod. Jesus is quoting God saying, thou shalt break them with a rod of iron. Thou shalt dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. Is that the Jesus you know? I'm talking about words from the foundation of the world. And Revelation says that the Lamb was slain from the foundation of the world. Somehow in this conversation, in asking the heathen for his inheritance, Jesus is quoting God. These are the first words of Jesus that I know of. I don't know, are they in red in your Bible? Thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. Ask of me. All that dwell on the earth, whose names are not written in the book of life. I got the wrong verse written down here. But anyway, it's the Lamb. Oh, yes. Of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. I do have the right verse. But he goes on, the moderator breaks in and he says, be wise, therefore, O ye kings. Be ye instructed, ye judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry and ye perish from the way when his wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are they, all they that put their trust in him. And already you see in the setting just before that in Psalms 2 is the kings of the earth are saying, let us cast aside his bands from us. We're going to do things the way we want. God set barriers in gender. God set barriers in all kinds of things in space. He set barriers to the sea. He set barriers. And we're going to change all of that. And that's what we hear today. The kings of the earth are saying, we're changing all the barriers that God said. And God says, you better kiss the Son or there's going to be trouble for you. But what did Jesus say when God says, ask of me and I will give thee the heathen? That's why we're here today. Because Jesus asked for and became the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. What did Jesus say in creation? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. He says, he that has seen me has seen the Father. Jesus claimed to be, Colossians says, he is the image of the invisible God. He is the expression. He is the Word because he is the expression of the thought of the being who is God. He that has seen me has seen the Father. And when Jesus said in the creation, God said, let there be light. Or whenever God created Adam in his own image, I believe it was Jesus, the theophany, who bent over Adam and breathed into his nostrils a breath of life. Is that too real? We don't know some of those things, but the Bible would imply or make it very plain that Jesus is the one, because he goes on to say, all things were made by him, by this word, and without him was not anything made that was made. And here in Colossians, he says that by him were all things created that are in heaven, by Jesus, that are in the earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. And so this Jesus that we know created the angels. No wonder the demons said, art thou come? We know thee who thou art. When they opened their eyes, I don't know, did angels open their eyes? But when the first thing they saw was their creator, they saw Jesus and they recognized him on earth. They knew what happened. This is all tied together. By the word of the Lord were the heavens made and all the host of them by the breath of his mouth. He spake and it was done. He commands and it stood fast. I'm reading from Psalm. And so Jesus said, let there be light. And there was light. I just love that. That's the one who became a man. And he understands us. Same one, this Jesus. Well, I don't know which of the theophanies to look at. Shall we talk about Abraham? Shall we talk about Jacob? Shall we talk about Moses? Shall we talk about Joshua? Shall we talk about Gideon? Shall we talk about the three men who were in the fire? God was, whenever he showed up in a human form, we believe that was the pre-incarnate Christ who came to be with people. And what did he say? Again and again, he said, angels would say, no, don't worship. But the theophany, the angels that's called with a capital A, would say, take your shoes off, fall on your face, worship me, you're on holy ground, and accepted the worship. What did he tell Joshua? Joshua said, are you on our side or are you against us? And he said, nay, neither one. I'm captain of the Lord's host. I'm not on anybody's side. It's a good thing to remember. Well, when he showed up on earth, what did Jesus say? Or what did people say about Jesus? And so we hear people marveling at this man. I have a few verses down, Mark 1:27. And they were all amazed, insomuch that they questioned among themselves, saying, What thing is this? What new doctrine is this? For with authority commandeth he even the unclean spirits, and they do obey him. He commanded spirits. Can you command evil spirits? And all bear him witness and wondered at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth. And they said, is this not Joseph's son? Jesus said about his own words, it is the spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. He knew that the teaching he was giving was different than any that man could come up with. Is this the same Jesus that said, give me the heathen for my inheritance, that we see under the olive trees in Gethsemane on his face crying, Father, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me? Is this the same Jesus who's saying, take away, if at all possible, take away the suffering that's before me? How can that be? You know, I take so much comfort in that. When Jesus was pre-incarnate, before he got into the form of a human flesh, yes, I'll do this, Father. I want the heathen for my inheritance. I want those Gentiles. I want those people who will love me, fellowship with me, and worship me and adore me with all of their hearts. I'll do whatever it takes. And he wasn't backing out on God, but in the flesh. You know what it's like to be a human being? You know what it's like to have moods? You know what it's like to have a struggle? Do you know what it's like to stand face to face with human suffering and death? Jesus knew all that. But he said, nevertheless, not my will. And he surrendered. That's incarnate. We're passing over that one way too fast, but we don't have much time. What is Jesus saying now? What is Jesus, what kind of words does he have now in heaven? I like this prophecy as well. The Lord said unto my Lord, Jehovah said to his son, to Jesus, sit thou at my right hand, this is Psalm 110, until I make thine enemies thy footstool. The Lord shall send the rod of thy strength out of Zion. Rule thou in the midst of thine enemies. Thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power, in the beauties of holiness from the womb of the morning. Thou hast the dew of thy youth. The Lord has sworn and will not repent. Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. But there's a terror in those prophecies that we don't know yet. But we do know the order of priests forever. Wherefore, he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. And so Jesus is involved in your life. He's involved in my life. And he wants to see us redeemed. He has this contest with the evil one. I don't know if I want to sidetrack you with this little story, but I got emotionally involved with the TSA when they took a little pocket knife from me. You know, that just like that. Little tiny pocket knife. What business do they have to do to pull that out of my suitcase? Take it away. And I went to buy another, and I found out that I can buy the ones that got confiscated from other people for just a couple of dollars a piece. And it made me feel so good to redeem that which was confiscated and taken away from somebody else. Isn't that a silly way to feel? Somehow, can you connect with the emotion of Jesus when he is able to redeem somebody that the devil has messed up? Somebody that he's taken? Do you think Jesus is emotionally involved in your spiritual journey today? When he makes intercession for us? If you get emotionally involved over a flower or a dog or whatever else that you might have, how much more he's involved with his children? Any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father. Not to help us escape our consequences, but to help us go to and face our consequences of our sin, to find deliverance. Well, he's glorified. John met him. Remember the one who laid on Jesus' bosom? He met him in Revelation 1. And when he saw him, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last, and what thou seest write in a book and send it. And then he talks about the seven churches. Jesus concludes, I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and of death. Write the things which thou hast seen, and the things which are, and the things which shall be hereafter. And John just fell at his feet as one that was dead. The one who lay on his breast. The one who was his good friend. You know, if we could see Jesus in his glory today, you know what we'd all be doing? Lifting our head up off the floor. That's what we would be doing, because he is so awesome. That's what the Bible says. Well, we've got these others and we're running out of time, so I'll stop. But this story just gets better. Maybe returning for the saints. Do you know the Bible says the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a... The Lord will descend with a... Yes, that's the word of Christ. A shout. And what do you think you'll be saying? Yes, or something. I don't know what he'll be saying, but come home or something. And we're listening for those words. You know what he's going to say when he comes back with vengeance? The Lord shall go forth as a mighty man, Isaiah says. He shall stir up jealousy like a man of war. He shall cry, yea, roar. He shall prevail against his enemies. I was looking for words that he would say. There's a lot of other prophecies I could read. King over all the earth. He says that this is what he says. And many people shall go and say, come ye and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. And he will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. And he shall judge among the nations and shall rebuke many people. And they shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nations shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. The last words that I could find that Jesus will say is in 1 Corinthians 15, and I don't understand it. Because he says, then cometh the end, when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and power, for he must reign till he hath put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death, for he hath put all things under his feet, but when he saith all things were put under him, it is manifest that he is accepted, which did put all things under him. And when all things shall be subdued unto him, then shall the Son also himself be subject unto him that put all things under him, that God may be all in God. Now, what is the common theme? As you look in these different scenes and the very rapid pace that we had to paint them before you, what's the common theme? Is there something that ties them all together? Any answers from the group?
About people.
It's about people. It's about redemption. It's about fellowshipping with people like you and I. And you know what? That's our next subject. God bless you.